Well, it's my great privilege always to be with you, and anytime I get to address our church. We come to the final in this series, week 12, God's plan to grow something greater in you. And today, I want to just do some summary things, all right? Just some reminders of things that we've talked about throughout this series. So we're going to begin with a pop quiz, two questions, all right, to see what kind of students you have been, all right? Or maybe it'll reflect on what a teacher I have been, so we better be careful. All right, according to John's Gospel, Jesus said that there is a life that is available, and out of your hands, your feet, your toes, your nose, or your heart can flow rivers of living water. And the correct answer is, see, you're such good students, I'm telling you. The King James says, out of your belly. And remember that it really represents the core. And Jesus doesn't come along and just touch the peripheral parts of us. He goes after the deepest part of who we are. He changes us in the center and in the core. And that's where we all so desperately need to be touched. Jesus brought the gospel. And the gospel that he brought was not, here are a few basic minimums that you need to get clear so that when you die, you can go to heaven. That was not the gospel that he brought. But the gospel that he brought was that to ordinary human beings like you and me, available in a new way is the life of God. Right here and right now. Now, it impacts later, eternal. That's involved, but it starts here and now. All right, second pop quiz question. The biblical writers say that when we live in this life with God through the power of the Spirit, that we really do change. We really can expect to be transformed kinds of people. And old things, old destructive things, get set aside. And there are new constructive things that we put on. And we've summarized that through the acronym, which is HAGS, NAGS, SAGS, or RAGS. Oh, I love you guys. So we've spent 2 months together. Really summarizing what the Bible says. We talked about resentment and anger, hostility, a kind of bitterness that the human heart can carry, which cuts us off from this life of the Spirit. We talked about the A, which is anxiety and a toxic kind of worry, a paralyzing fear that can grab the human heart. But instead, we're to be clothed with a kind of trust as we learn to depend on Him. And the G, which stood for greed, mismanaged desires and appetites and longings, habits and addictions. And instead, we learn to live with a sense of self-control. And then we spent the last 2 weeks on superiority, this horrible epidemic of arrogance and self-righteousness, smugness, and judgmentalism that makes Christians and their communities, by the way, noxious to God, to outsiders, and destructive to those who are inside. So as I said, we're going to just review a few things this week and once again declare our intention to live fully in this life of God's Spirit. Now, remind you that being fully alive in the Spirit is available to you nonstop, anytime and anywhere. Makes no difference. You may be sad, pressured, tempted, or confused. You may be on the job. You may be in the place where you live. It makes no difference. The availability of God's Spirit is anytime and any place. Paul prays in Ephesians 1:17. He says, I keep asking the glorious Father to give you a spirit of wisdom and of knowledge. And part of what we talked about in this series is you cannot understand spiritual life and to be truly changed without a renewal in your mind, in your thoughts. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked, if you remember, about the life-giving quarter second, that you are not a victim, that you really can learn to take every thought captive and bring that subject to Jesus Christ. And part of this life in the Spirit is living in an unbroken flow of wise thinking and thoughts. Jesus encountered a woman at a well, and the combination of things, a Samaritan and a Jew, a woman and a man, those were just jaw-dropping in Jesus' day. And in a conversation, an exchange happens, and Jesus says to her that those who drink from this well, this water, they're going to thirst more again. But he said, there is a water that I offer, and you will never thirst again. Now, would you agree with me, if you've listened to the news or read the paper recently, we live in a really thirsty world. There is an old way of life that is dominated by thirst, by discontent, by unsatisfied desires, but there is a new way of being that involves, I like what Kathy said, becoming the very best version of you. Jesus came not so that you would breathe, but so that you would be fully alive. John 6:63, the writer says that the Spirit alone gives eternal life. In Jesus and in His followers, people started seeing human beings coming truly alive. I came, Jesus said, so that you could have life. And that hunger that is inside every single one of us, that hunger to be the best of who we are, who God created us to be fully alive, is a really good thing. And it's what the gospel that Jesus brought addresses. The flow of God's Spirit, the power of His Spirit is available to you 24/7 to give you life. We also underscored that there is no way to follow Jesus and live a Christian life and do so on my own. It only happens when I learn to partner with the life of God through His Spirit. Listen to these words of Jesus from John 5:19. Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now Jesus, here's Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who says that by Himself, He could do nothing on His own. Now that is a staggering statement coming from the lips of Jesus. He would speak often of this inseparable connection to the Father. And how was that connection maintained? Jesus did everything at the will of God's Spirit. Mark 1:12, the Spirit then compelled, led Jesus to go into the wilderness. Jesus constantly, no matter what it was, kept saying yes to the influence of the Spirit in his life. Now, if Jesus says that by himself he can do nothing, and he relied on the Holy Spirit for each moment of his life, how in the world do we ever think that we would thrive spiritually if we do not live in that same Spirit? Jesus is not only the bringer of the gospel, but he is the bringer of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptizer said, I will baptize you in water, but there is one who comes after me who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, anyone that is outside the flow, the current, the life of his Spirit is like a branch that gets cut off from the vine. There is no life can exist in a separated branch. That's why the scripture writers tell us, 1 Thessalonians 5 and Ephesians 4, don't get unplugged from the life of the Spirit. Don't stifle, don't quench, don't get out of this river, this stream, this flow of God's Spirit. Dallas Willard, a great author, writer, thinker, professor at USC who died recently, wrote a book entitled Divine Conspiracy. I really love to read him, but I got to tell you, I got to read him with someone else. Wow, I know it's deep, but I'm just not deep enough. But once in a while, I catch on to something. He wrote a book entitled Divine Conspiracy, and he was looking for a way to illustrate this very point of living life with God. And he used the example of electricity. And let me read this to you. He says, I'm from Missouri, where electricity was only available in the form of lightning. Now, he's writing when he was a young boy. We had more than we could use. In my senior year of high school, the World Electrification Administration extended a line into our area where we lived. And electrical power became available for the first time to households and to farms. When these lines came by our farm, a very different way of living now presented itself. Our relationship to fundamental aspects of life, light and dark, hot and cold, clean and dirty, work and rest, preparing food and preserving food, could then be vastly changed for the better. But we still had to believe in the electricity and its arrangements and take practical steps in relying on it. He says, this crude comparison may help us understand Jesus' basic message about the kingdom of the heavens if we pause to reflect on these farmers who heard this message, repent for electricity is now at hand. Turn from your kerosene lamps, your lanterns, your ice boxes, your cellars, your scrub boards, your rug beaters, and your human-powered sewing machines. The power that could make their lives far better was right there, near them, where by making relatively simple arrangements, they could use it. But he said it was a strange thing. There was a few who refused to accept it. They would not enter into the kingdom of electricity. Some just didn't want to change. And others could not afford it, or so they thought, he writes. Now, let's just take this a little bit further. If you think about electricity, I did a little schooling in electricity. This past week by people who have done schooling who helped me. All right. So question, who invented electricity? And the right answer would be, that's right, not Ben Franklin, someone said last night. And I reminded them, we're in church and the right answer to everything here is God. All right, so. So God is the author, the creator of electricity. Now, human beings made discoveries about it, but we did not invent this remarkable, extraordinary power. But at a certain point in human history, it became available to us in a brand new way. And when it became accessible, it was a game changer. It changed everything. Because the human race could go from dark to light. I mean, we don't understand that. We take it so for granted. The human race could go from isolation to connection, from silence to communication. Now, it was always around. We did not invent it, but one day it became available to us. So if I had a little table lamp that was here, a table lamp is a really good thing as long as it's plugged in to the current. But if it's not plugged into the current, it's basically of no value. It is useless. It at best should be discarded. But when it gets plugged in to this flow of electrical current, something amazing happens. Now here's what I learned from my friends this week. When it comes to electrical current, there are two kinds of materials. There are conductors and there are resistors. Conductors are characterized by what's known as free electrons. Their atoms have free electrons floating around that can quite easily leave that atom and pass to another one. They are like free agent electrons. So a conductor has what you might call a generosity of spirit when it comes to electrons. Some of you are shaking your head because you're smart guys, smart gals. Therefore, it is capable of transmitting enormous power. And when that string of electrons start to flow through it, something amazing happens. But on the other hand, resistors are very stingy with their electrons. A resistor has atoms, but they are into self-preservation. And they want to maintain the status quo at all cost. They want to keep their little electrons intact, and they do, but they have very little power that flows through them. Now, in spiritual life, there is a current. There is a flow. We don't invent it. We don't maintain it. We don't sustain it. But it is made available to us as a gift. And there are only two responses. Just two. You'll either be a conductor or you'll be resistors. Now, conductors sound like this. Not my will, but your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, in me, in my body, right here, right now, even as it's being done in heaven. Now, a resistor prays his will. Well, there's a will to be done, but it is my will that is to be done. The secret of a conductor is that it comes to understand that it cannot generate power on its own. A conductor realizes it will never be strong or clever. It can only be a conduit. that is open to receive a current that can change everything. That everything can go from dark to light. So here's the question. Any points of resistance in you? Any place where you are saying, no matter what, it will be my will be done. You are making a choice to be a conductor or a resistor. I think even as I was reflecting on this, I think this is a correct observation, that you oftentimes see these things paired together in the Bible. You see Pharaoh, who is a resistor. You see Moses, who becomes a conductor, imperfect, but nonetheless a conductor. You have King Saul, the first king of Israel. Impressive, the Bible says, his stature. He was something to look at, very impressive. But he was a resistor, and David will become a conductor. Haman will become a resistor in the story of Esther, and she will become the conductor. Judas will be a resistor. Peter will be a conductor. Herod, the great, almighty King Herod, a resistor. And John the Baptist will be a conductor. And this series has simply been, one more time, a reminder and a call. No more resisting. But the life that you are intended to live can only happen as we keep saying yes fully to the presence and power of God's Spirit in our life. All right, we're going to close this out. I want to give you just five final statements, all right? Number one, people falsely and destructively think that the life of God in His Spirit is reserved for some kind of spiritual giant. But the Bible shows that God lets His spiritual power flow through the most unlikely people. A prostitute named Rahab, an adulterer, a murderer named David, a con man named Jacob, a corrupt tax collector named Zacchaeus, and a guy who wanted to believe, but he struggled. He was shaky in his faith, whose name was Thomas. Acts 4:31 tells us that after they had prayed, that some were filled with the Spirit. No, all. All were filled with the Spirit. See, the ordinary becomes extraordinary when it stays plugged in to life with God. You don't need to wait until you're more spiritual or farther along. You just simply ask this day and the next day and the day after to be filled with, to live in a life with God in your real and ordinary life. Secondly, people think that to stay plugged into this life with God, I've got to do something spiritual or go somewhere else that is spiritual. So the most spiritual thing would be to take a Bible and go to a monastery and pray all by yourself. And by the way, that may be a wonderful thing to do periodically. But see, the Spirit is around you all the time. Remember when Jesus uses this idea of living water, John then just says, oh, by the way, he's talking about the Spirit. There are rivers and streams that occur in the Bible over 150 times. There is a river in the beginning of Genesis and at the very end of Revelation. It just means that the life of the Spirit is all around you all the time. And the psalmist asks in Psalm 139, where can you go? Where's the place you can hide from His Spirit? You go to the highest place, He's there. You go to the lowest place, and He is there. Where is your Spirit not? Wherever you are, and whatever you are doing. Never forget that God's power and His life is available to you, to the most unlikely people in the most unlikely places. And when you get that straight, that will utterly transform your understanding of what spiritual is. Thirdly, how much power is available? Enough power for whatever you face. And that power is not given, by the way, for tomorrow or the next day. It is given this day. It is given one day at a time. Fourthly, remember this, your job is not to go out and be stronger and get taller and try harder and to be more spiritual. I can't tell you, I've said those words to you 100 times in the last 12 weeks. Every time I say them, there is something that jumps inside me, literally. That is such good news to a man like me. That my only job is to stay plugged into the current. And wherever those rags show themselves, I learn by the presence of this God to put them off and to put on His life. And then fifth and finally, I am absolutely persuaded that this message, life with God, is the only hope for this world. The Bible says that apart from God, it is dark. Can you remember a time? I cannot. I just turned 62. I cannot remember in all of my life when the news has been darker. When it has been, it is just, it's almost sometimes like you read the paper or you sit and watch the evening news and you just say, could it, is this even possible? And the Bible says, strange thing about how stained by sin we are, that we actually love the darkness. We prefer the darkness. And the world is dark and it is getting darker. And apart from Him on our own, darkness will be the final word. But one day a child was born. And there's never been a child like this before. And the prophet Isaiah said that those who were walking in darkness saw great light. Can you remember in your own story? I can remember 18 years of age, I wanted nothing to do with God. I am telling you, God literally seized me. Of no doing on my own. I was on no faith journey. It was this young man saw a great light. John says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the darkness could not overcome it. And people who were exhausted and tired and worn out from the darkness, they just kept coming to the life. And dark powers tried to put out the light. They nailed it to a cross. They buried it in a tomb. But nothing could stop that light. And after the resurrection, some of that light went on and into His followers on a day that was called Pentecost. And now that light was in more than just one person. And when you read your Bible, that's what happened. Jerusalem literally started to light up. And that light kept spreading, even though the darkness kept trying to put it out. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to every continent, every country, every nation, every city, every town, every tribe, and all the way to Eagle Rock. And CA, that light will not go out. The darkness will not win. That light is your destiny. It is the destiny of every human being. And Jesus says these words to all of us, you are the light of the world. And CA, that's only going to be possible if we stay plugged in. It will not be by great leaders. It will not be by remarkable programs. It will not be by properties we buy or the size of crowds that attend. It will be one thing that we have learned to do, life with God in the current, in the power of His Spirit, that is made available and accessible to ordinary human beings like you and me. And when that happens, when it happens, it's a game changer. And it is possible for the first time for everything to go from darkness into light.